Blog Talk Radio.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Scott Enstra Network.
If I could fly away, I guess I would myself. This world is absolutely insane. Those people who are supposed to be elected officials that act in our behalf, for our behalf, and our safety, are absolutely demon-possessed. Now, I was just looking at an article where an exorcist and whoever it is claims that beautiful women are more likely to be possessed. There would probably be a lot of men would say yes. But in reality, we need to understand possession. Possession was never used in the Bible. Demonization, vexed, those things that inhabit, like a virus. When you are supposedly possessed, I'll say that anyone that's outside of Christ is the likely candidate. When you give yourself to Jesus, when you give your heart to God, what you're doing is you're separating yourself from the evil one. You're putting yourself in the service of God through Jesus Christ. And because what Jesus did on the cross enables us to do this, and those that have not done that might as well be possessed because they're under the direct influence. Otherwise, there's no counter. Now, there's divine grace. Many of you, before you were saved, were good people. You just didn't turn to Christ. And some of you were not so good. Some of you were heavy sinners. Some of you were just real stinkers. I was a stinker. Was I possessed? Well, I was infected with demons. Possession, again, would be one that is willing to serve Satan, one that has taken an oath, one that has surrendered, one that has given themselves to Satan, the evil one, as a servant. Now, there's nothing good ever going to come out of that. The final ending will be the lake of fire. So getting back to beautiful women being more likely possessed, let me break a few things down here. Now, most of the reasons that a individual, beautiful or ugly or average, whatever, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, whatever the situation is, the likelihood of infection came from generational curses and from things that were done to them as children that may have set up a position that causes a person to react more to the world, bring in an iniquitous pull towards more sin. Now, as children, any child is vulnerable to molestation. Any child is vulnerable to abuse and rejection and abandonment. So beauty would be gauged as somebody who's matured. I mean, as a normal person, we would say that. Some of the stuff that we see out there, pedophilia, these perverted people see children as beautiful, like a man would see a beautiful woman. It's very twisted. So to say that then would indicate that a beautiful woman is more likely to be possessed, I would say that if that were true, then there would be something towards the latter days of the individual that allowed them, otherwise a willful choice, to make a decision which way they were going to go. Okay? So I'm just throwing this around. So if you have somebody that is beautiful, and that, let's say, a society would acknowledge as beautiful, because that's been pretty distorted. Some of these anorexic women that they have on the magazines, I'm not sure what that's really all about. But again, it's a perverted way of one projecting their desire or their perceived desire. So a beautiful woman may be willing to think that they have they can go further, they can do more, they can get more, they can control more, and because of that, they may end up surrendering, selling themselves out, and allowing through witchcraft to gain the powers that give them these prizes. Okay, that would, and I do see that, by the way. And by the way, some of the worst Jezebels I have ever seen actually were women that were considered probably more attractive than others. Somebody that is not that attractive, they can actually use witchcraft, bewitching, to put spells to vex somebody that when somebody looks upon them, they see beautiful. They're desired by others that normally would have never looked at them through witchcraft, through mind control. So I'm not sure. I didn't really get a chance to read through it. I just saw it the last minute. I don't know who this person is. I think that it's more complicated than that. And so if anyone sees the article, I would just take it with a grain of salt because there's a lot more to it. Now, getting back to children, when you have a room full of children, and let's say a pedophile walks in the room, the pedophile will automatically lock on to children who have targets on their back spiritually through generational curses. Otherwise, their mother was molested, father, you know, could have been molested as a little boy, and now he's a pedophile in some degree or has homosexual tendencies because his sexuality was morphed because of the demonization that came in when he was a young boy. That's what happens. That's why you do not remember something from 6 years old and earlier. You may remember everything after it, or there'll be places or spots in time that are missing. And generally that has to do with trauma or some type of incident that happened that was so overwhelming that there was a fracture that took place and now you have an altar or multiple or whatever you want to call it. And I've had Scott Bicken on before. You'll see on my website some edited 4-hour versions on there for you. I would recommend that everyone listen to those if you have not yet. In fact, that reminds me, I should make YouTube videos out of those to make it easy for access, and I will do that. The reason that I'm bringing all this up is that everything that we're seeing today has to do with some type of generational curse or some type of sin that has given the spirit realm, the demonic realm, a legal right to do what it does. And I've talked about this. And I've slammed the church, the corporate church, many times, and you may be a little sick of hearing me do this, but it is the truth that they have failed to do the works of Jesus Christ. And those works are to set the captives free and to fight evil. Now you say, well, what do you mean fight evil? Well, you know, you don't just stand there and allow evil to beat the snot out of you. You take the sword of the Spirit and you charge forward because you, as I mentioned before, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. Now, evil will always be there. Evil will continue till the return of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit will continue on earth. And so with the Holy Spirit, then there's the intervention, the divine intervention of God. And us as professing Christians are the ones who move forward in that authority to clean up, to make right, to set the captives free, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. Okay? Many people are sick because they have demons. And or it's an evil act applied onto them, whether it's through poisons, chemtrail, GMOs, vaccines. The people who concocted this stuff together are evil. Do you understand? So everything that we have thrown at us, bombarded at us, is evil. See, when you truly have love and compassion, when you truly care about others, you would never do such things. You know, the older that I get, the more appreciation I have for children. We were all children once. Maybe some of you still are, to a degree. That's known as arrested development. There are people who behave, even in their 40s and 50s, as if they were 16. And a lot of people write that off and say, well, that's just the way they are. Okay, but why are they the way they are? Well, something, you know, because that's just not normal. Paul even tells us that when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Because the realization that the world is evil, and if we're skipping through life and going la la la, we're going to get beat up pretty bad, especially in the end, because we haven't done what we've been called to do. Okay, so that means that as an adult, we take responsibility and understand that we've been given a job to do. And one of the primary things is to have compassion for those who are less fortunate, those who are homeless, those who are widowed, those who are orphaned, okay? And so if you think that just being happy, gay, you know, the old term gay, you know, being, you know, joyful, is the way to go through life, that's disassociation. That is disconnection. That is putting yourself somewhere else through other means so you don't have to face reality. The real people who get the job done are ones who compartmentalize circumstances and are able to approach things accordingly. 1, 2, 3, ABC. Somebody who is emotional, let's say like Hillary Clinton, believe me, she bites her lip no matter what she does, because she's a very angry, wicked individual, period. She's responsible for the deaths of many people. She will continue to be responsible for the death of future people. And so a person like her pretends to be normal, pretends to be in order, when in reality, their whole life is chaos, because they're constantly putting out fires, because if you live a lie, you will be a lie. Just like her facade husband, Slick Willie. I've mentioned before that he's a habitual liar, and he's so good at it because of the demons that he has, that he can pick up a lie that he did 10 years ago, he can pick up where he left off and continue forward and not skip a beat. That's why they call him Slick Willie. He's amazing, but it's all because of the demons. So you know, I would say that I certainly can't put Hillary in the beautiful classification, and never was. And there was a time that I would defend her daughter for the very fact that she was a child. There was back in the older days when talk radio on AM in Arizona was big. That's where I was at for many years. They were really bashing her as a kid, and I wasn't really happy with that because she's still a kid. But now she's an adult, and now she's coming forward. They're grooming her for the next generation, and she's had time to make choices and become who she is. And so Whether you want to consider her attractive, beautiful or not, that's not my take. But I would say that since her mother is possessed, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And the sins of the father, which also include the mother, are visited onto the third and fourth generation. Now, that's a term. It doesn't mean that it skips the first and the second. It's simply giving the idea that there's a continuation of curse, just like the curse of the bastard goes on to the 10th generation. And as I mentioned before, because of the sins that continue or the iniquitous pull that brings you in, you'll continue. You'll turn to sin because it's the curse that's on you. Just like the curse of pedophilia, where you have desires for children. And by the way, there's countries that are starting to legalize that. I mentioned that last night. That tells you the depths of Satan that we have evolved to. And so, you know, are beautiful women more likely to be possessed? No. I can't agree with it. I would just simply say that a woman in an older age has made a decision to behave the way that she has. And that evil is in the hearts of and it's a way of classification. that's why we're to guard our hearts, okay? Because if we get our heart broken, and I've seen this, I've seen people who were once God-fearing, and the church destroyed them, the church broke their hearts, and they fell away, and they turned to the occult and died prematurely because the demons, that was their plan anyways, to abuse them. And it all happened because they got a broken heart. They took offense. And in that offense, they didn't understand that it was a plot against them. They didn't understand that it was a strategic strike to cause them eventually to fall. This is where forgiveness comes in. See, when I went through the things that I did many, many, many years ago, the information that I know now that I can pass on to others was through that research that I did, trying to understand what in the world happened. Why did a bomb go off in my life and everybody died around me, so to speak? Why did I lose my jobs? Why did I lose my businesses? Why did I lose my marriage? Why did I lose this? Why did I lose that? It was amazing. And when in my investigation, you know, I come from an engineering background, and so I'm very analytical, and I like to take things one at a time. I like to get to the root problem. And so when I start discovering how evil works, I was fascinated with it. Abnormal psychology is fascinating. I mean, we're creatures of habit. You know, the DSM-4, DSM-5 is based on our behaviors, but unfortunately written by men that leave out the spiritual connection. That's why I wrote the book Jezebel, my first book, BPD, Borderline Personality Disorder, or Jezebel, and the subtitle is Just When You Think Everything's Okay. That when I discovered the order of things and how evil worked, I was able to forgive those who were the perpetrators against me, the ones who abandoned me, the ones who rejected me, the ones that betrayed me, the ones who took things from me. Because I know full well that if they do not repent, they're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And the lake of fire, I wish on nobody, but since we're all given free choice and we've all been given the ability to repent, we've all been given the ability to come out of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, then that's their choice. And though I did make attempts to bring that information to them, I was laughed at. Which I see now that since they were where they were, it was futile. I wasn't going to get anywhere anyways. So my point is that, again, where we're at, whether you're unattractive, middle ground or considered beautiful, it's all a choice. God's always provided a way out. Jesus paid for everybody's sins. He paid for all sins, past, present, and future. And he either did it or he didn't. And since God is a God of order, God is truth, then therefore he did. 1, 2, 3, ABC. And with that knowledge, as we move forward, we understand that there is evil in the world. That evil has grown to a number that I believe has exceeded even in the past, in numbers anyways, because of the volume or the content of those living on the earth. Because there's been many wicked times in the world before the flood and during the times of Lot. And Scripture tells us that the days will be like Lot or the days before, the days during Noah. And we're here, but there's a few key things missing, and that is the exposure of the hybrids, the exposure of the Nephilim, those things that will come upon the earth that will cause men's hearts to fail them. And so what do we do? What do we do with such a circumstance? Well, we can't fly away. For pre-drivers, you think you will, but that's not the case. You've been lied to. Again, dispensation. Just Google dispensation, the lie, and you'll have a 30-page that you can read of the history of dispensation, how it came into the church. The Zionists brought it in, the payoffs, bring it into the seminaries, the churches that went along with it. The whole thing's a lie to keep you from being who God intended you to be. Because we're here to do the works of the Lord, the commandments of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. And to do anything less is rebellion, is disobedience. Now, we're not all perfect. Some of us come a little slower than others. You know, I made a decision to change my life before I was a Christian, but I sure still had a lot of cleaning up to do. Plus, I had all the sins, I had all the demons, I had all the curses that had to be broke off of me. And until that happened, everything just kept going to heck, making bad decisions, out of money all the time, just circumstances, one after another, that when I talk to people today, that's like, you know, it's just the way it is, that a lot of people just can't believe what I experienced. And a lot of you listening are in the very same boat, and some of you are going through those terrible times right now, and you're searching for answers. And I mentioned that there were a group of people in Scottsdale, Arizona, that took me in and delivered me, healed me, cast out my demons, broke my curses, gave me mantle of healing and deliverance, prayed over me, blessed me. And so here I am today, 15, 16, going on 16 years later, continuing to do the same thing. Now, it's not without challenges. And those challenges are, and I've mentioned before, you know, that I've got things that just in life in itself that we have to deal with. But since I pray for other people, I'm not really concerned about their demons. What I keep on alert about is that there are covens and there are assignments from other groups of the occult, of the Masonic lodges, of the Luciferian people that have segregated me, have pulled me aside, and have targeted me. Now, some of you have dealt with gang stalking, and I've talked about that, and I've talked about that in depth, and I talked the other day about some of the technologies involved in that have to do with smart TVs to gather the information as you sit on the couch and have your little private conversations to analyze to the, because all this stuff is recorded, every bit of it. That's what the NSA computers are all about, especially there in Salt Lake and various other places. And it profiles you. It analyzes at what's the best way to crack you like an egg, how to push you over the edge, how to break your heart, how to inflict and say things into you that you take offense, no matter how hard you stand against it. Because, one, you don't understand what's going on. And, again, that puts you at a disadvantage. See, that's the thing about evil. Evil is able to draw their powers and their knowledge from the spirit realm through familiar spirits. And I've equated this before, that it would be like putting you in a dark room where you turn the lights off, and let's say that you've got two people, and you've given them the job to be combative against each other, like a boxing match. And you give one person infrared viewer's goggles so they can see in the dark, and the other person cannot. Well, obviously, the one that can see in the dark has a great advantage over the one who cannot. And that's what the spirit realm's all about. But see, it's through the Holy Spirit, through walking in the Spirit, through reading the Word, through having the power and authority through the blood, that puts a pair of goggles on you or that other person, so now you can see in the spirit realm, so you're able to see that punch coming. See, that's what that's about. That's the best way I can put it. Now, because the churches, the corporates, the capstones, the pyramids, whatever you want to call these four walls that pretend to be the house of God, haven't taught you that, then you are unaware. You're not capable yet. Some of you are. Some of you are coming around, and you will be. I want to restore a hope to you, because you all have the capability. But we have to be discerning when we move forward in this of to where we're getting that knowledge. That's very important, very important. And so the churches that are engaging into supposedly the spirit of supernatural, they're out of order. I've talked extensively about the Kundalini spirit and charismatic witchcraft and some of these other things. That they're operating with spirits that are not of the Holy Spirit, they're counterfeits. And so now you think you're working with the Holy Spirit, you feel this incredible euphoria, there's all this supernatural stuff happening, there may even be miracles of cures and all this other stuff, but it's all a lie, it's all a facade. And we're warned about that. So now it leaves you in a position you don't trust anybody. And believe me, that's also a tactic. That puts you in a position that you don't believe anything anymore. And I get it. I mean, whenever I see anything happen that's supernatural, a flag goes up. Because I've seen so much counterfeit until it lines up with the Word of God, till there's been discernment behind it, verification. I'm not going to believe in it. And sometimes I offend people with that. But, you know, I've made mention before of some things that I've seen publicly and been chastised. And then it may take up to months later, but then I'll get a phone call or an email, and they'll say, you know what, Scott, you were right. Well, that's why I didn't take offense when you didn't believe me. Because eventually, if I'm honorable and I keep moving forward and doing what I'm called to do, and I'm not a clanging cymbal that I'm showing love, I'm showing responsibility by bringing, revealing, you know, the issue. The way that we deliver the message, the way we handle it, is very important. And so in time, these things come around to show that what I'm talking about is true. Now, have I been wrong? Sure, absolutely. Then I learn from it. I repent if there's an issue, and I move on. And so the next time, because I was honorable, because I was self-checking, and that I checked the spirit, or I was found, you know, that things needed to change, then I can be trusted more by God. Do you get that? He wants to make sure that you're following and walking in his word. This is part of being consecrated. Now, some of you will think that when you call me or come here that you're going to be delivered instantly and that the whole world's going to change and the birds are going to start chirping and the sun's going to come out and you can smell the flowers. And you leave only smelling the flowers. Well, a lot of times you didn't tell me about the perverted thing you did when you were 21. And so there's a stronghold of sin that you did not confess and renounce. It's very important that we confess our sins to one another. Now, it's very important that we watch who we confess to, because there are people who do not have our best interest in mind. And unfortunately, a large percentage of those people are sitting in the pews that you've talked to, and now they judge you. I get it. That's why being of understanding that I myself have been a stinker, have been a bad boy, have done things that I'm not proud of, that this is why I do not hold judgment over people, over the person. Now, I will judge the sin. I will put it in the category that it belongs in. Okay, is it a sin that leads to death? Is it one that will keep you in bondage of having financial loss the rest of your life? Will you continue to be sick? Will you continue to marry people and then divorce real quick? See, that's my job. That's what I do. And so when people tell me I'm not supposed to judge, then I don't know what planet you're on, but I couldn't do my job. And believe me, a lot of times when people come in and they talk about things, I do a little checking myself. Because believe me, I hear it all. You know? And because I've been through a lot of things and because I've heard it all, it's just another day in the office. I don't go, oh my goodness. Now, I've heard things that have upset me, especially when when it involves children. But at the same time, I need to understand that the individual that's confessing this to me, that they too were wounded. They too were abused. And that's part of the curse. And that's where forgiveness comes from. Remember when I was saying earlier that through my research and my findings that I was able to forgive because I discovered that evil was in the details. Satan was in the details. Demons were in the details. Anytime that you have a contract, they're always warning you to read the fine print. Well, most of us don't. You know, we go to a gym. We get involved with, you know, an internet service or Dish TV or, you know, whatever it is. And we don't read the fine print. And next thing you know, it doesn't work out well for us. Especially when it comes to buying a car. But again, getting back to the issue that with the overwhelmingness of sin and evil that's within the world, that if you have fear, if you have anxieties, if you have depression, if you have the inability to just have, you know, want to move forward, you know, you give up, I don't want to be here anymore, you wish you could fly away. I guess the question is, if you could fly away, where would you go? Where in the world could you go in this world that evil wouldn't be there, since this world belongs to Satan? So in reality, we can't fly away. We have no place to go. And so in truth, we need to stand and fight. Now, in order to stand and fight, like any good soldier, any good fighter, whether it's a street fighter, and just like that young man, I think it was in Germany where a bunch of Muslims attacked him and his girlfriend, and he ended up knocking a bunch of them out. Good going there, pal. Good job. Your girlfriend, wife, or whoever she is, she's looking up at you. You did a good job. And see, that's where we need to be in the spirit realm. But unfortunately, most of us are not prepared. Most of us are out of shape. Most of us have absolutely no idea how to to even make a fist and swing it at the devil. And again, you know, I put the blame on the church for that, because they should have been, you know, getting you, the boot camp should have been a long time ago, and now you should have been a seasoned fighter, that the devil wouldn't even think about coming at you. But now, the demons, after they hit the bar, they stop off at your house, and they knock you around before going home. That's what they do. Don't think the spirit realm isn't much like the real, the physical world that we have. They're all a bunch of hoodlums. They're all a bunch of thieves. They're all a bunch of murderers, liars. And they hate us. And so they take every opportunity they can to abuse us. They take every opportunity they can to make us sick. They take every opportunity to cause you and your wife, you and your spouse, to fight, to disagree, to be in chaos. Now, when you're ready and you've been cleaned up and you're able, then the devil, the demons get a little nervous. It's the same thing that people talk about when they call either Julie or myself. They come to the understanding that things start happening, demons start leaving, and they even recognize that demons fear. Now, it's not us. It's the Christ in us that, because of our obedience, that this happens. The moment we act in the flesh, it's kind of like opening kryptonite. Okay? Very bad place to be is in the flesh. And some deliverances have gotten so heavy over the years. I don't do it so much anymore, but when I was fairly new, I would get excited. I would get even angry because I realized what these demons had done. There's been generations that have been murdered by demons, have caused stillborn, have caused infant death syndrome, have caused all kinds of premature death and sicknesses and illnesses and mental diseases, and they laugh about it. I can remember one demon laughing about bone disease. This poor girl's teeth were falling out of her mouth because her, you know, calcium was being depleted by the demons, and she would have eventually just, you know, probably got what they call brittle bone disease. And they really thought it was funny. And we need to remember that this young woman that I'm talking about, these demons came into her when she was a little girl. So who puts up with that? Who tolerates evil to prevail over children? So again, being in a position of knowing right from wrong, good and bad, truth and lie, then we stand in judgment of evil. Now, some of you, again, are not quite there yet. You know, you're still coming out of a divorce. You know, you were a heavy drug user or something like that. But please, you need to understand that the reason you're there is because of demons, because of curses. And the devil tried to take you out. And you need to remember that it's no mistake that you were born in these times. And God had a purpose for you. And the demons knew that. And even from the womb, they were trying to destroy you. And maybe they've done a fairly good job. So from there, we get righteous anger. Because we realize that we are heirs to the kingdom. We are children of the Most High. And I've mentioned it before. How dare you, demons, lay one hand on me and do what you did. So it's time to fight back. It's time to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, cowboy up, get ready, because some very bad things are coming and you're not going to fly away. You're going to have to stand and fight. But when you get in your spirit like I did in 2000, when I realized that everything that happened and everything that was taken from me that I loved dearly, was because of demons and even because of my own sin and generational curses. But behind all those were demons with iniquitous pulls that brought us into these situations. Then I was able to move forward with all power and all authority against the enemy. And I've been doing it ever since. There's no difference between me and you, ladies and gentlemen. You have everything. You just need the will. You need the gumph. You need to have game, so to speak, to do that. All right, I just kind of wanted to set the stage for you to be ready. And I'm going to go over some things. Julie won't be with me tonight. As you probably noticed, I went about 10 minutes longer than before I let her in. And so I'm just going to go through some things, you know. But I wanted to bring up, again, Hillary Clinton. I want to go back to kind of what we were talking about earlier. Whenever you have somebody like her, okay, now, I wish that nothing would bad happen to her. I don't like that because she too was a child once. Now, whether she's even her anymore, I mean, there's information now that cloning and all this other stuff. Who knows? You know, but the possibilities are high because who in the world, as a normal person, could operate like they do, right? I mean, narcissism is one thing, but boy, when destroying your enemy, so-called enemy or perceived enemy, the way they do with all the deaths, and I've counted them out before. I mean, you know, we're talking about over 1,000 people associated with the Clintons have perished, and so if you run the numbers, the probability, well, there's something rotten in Denmark, right? So with an individual like her. And her husband, or whatever you want to call him, what they have done is they've sold their souls, and most likely are not redeemable. Okay, the original person probably isn't there anymore, whether they had something walk in. But the fact that society is even addressing them as a probability of candidacy for president is absolutely insane. They have nothing to offer this country whatsoever. Their past history is nothing but lies and destruction. And I can assure you that nothing after them, if they were to be elected, is going to be good. So whether a person is liberal or not, whether they're a feminist or whatever the deal is, that again shows that society is demon-possessed. Not demonized, not demon-infected, but possessed. Because Jesus Christ, the true God, now remember, you can hear God all day long, but is it the God of the Bible they're talking about? See, you need to define that, because it has to be an association with Jesus Christ. Because no one comes to the Father except through Christ. So if they talk about God, are they talking about Baphomet? Are they talking about, pick any of them. Holy smokes. I mean, it's just amazing. So when you have somebody like her, how could anybody even think that she's okay? So now we have to take a step back and look at society. And society in itself is fallen to a depth that is unredeemable to a point. Why? Because there'll never be repentance. How do I know that? Well, we see the book of Revelation. Are there going to be people who repent? Yes, but are they the ones who have gone that far? Because we also see in Revelation that when they see the power of God and they see the judgment, they do not repent. They curse God. Pretty big stuff. Boy, I don't know about you. If I'm on fire or something's eating me or some rock is crushing me, I don't know. That's a no-brainer. But it tells you how far they've allowed themselves to go I can't even grasp it, because you know, when I went through all the stuff that I went through, the only reason that I made it through was because of Jesus. If I had to have Jesus in my life, I wouldn't have made it. I know I wouldn't have made it. I don't know how people make it through those things without Christ. Unless they bring in some other thing that brings them out of it, which happens. A lot of people that are considered Jezebels, and remember, Jezebel can be in male or female, but generally female. And that spirit enters in when a person is at their lowest point, unfortunately sometimes as children or teenagers, and they make a deal with the devil to back off and give them the feeling of security, the feeling of power, to give them things that can only come from the supernatural, and by doing so, they sell their souls. Now, can a Jezebel repent? Yes. Do they? Not very often. When we talk about borderline personality disorder, which I know a lot about, the true, let's say, healing, the recovery is less than 1%. Wow. How's that possible? And when you look at the numbers, it's usually 70% or more that are women that are BPD, borderline personality disorder, which also is /Jezebel, which is terrible. I still say to this day that borderline personality disorder is one of the worst things that Satan ever did to God's people. And my point in this is that because somewhere they made a decision that this becomes who they are. This is why we call it a personality disorder. And when it becomes who you are, then your conscience is seared with a hot iron. And then you'll be turned over. And when you're turned over, then there's no redemption. So that's what we're seeing with Hillary. You put Hillary in there. Ouch. Now, Ted Cruz, again, I don't know how anyone could think that he's even a probability when he's a, as far as I'm concerned, he's a homosexual. He also is not even an American. He also is one that had to do with the North American trade. He also had to do with the decisions for the Supreme Courts that led to eventually the same-sex marriage. You're going to get nothing more than the same. He's a lie. He's a facade. He's another stooge, another talking head. He's another puppet. Now, they all are. They're not going to be in the position they are and be godly men. Now, when we get to Trump, now, it's funny that he uses that name. You know, he's a wild card. Is he? Or does he just have his own agenda under the same auspices of the devil? Well, when Julie had a chance to look at his flat, condo, apartment, whatever you want to call it, you know, which I can imagine is spectacular, it was all laid out in a Masonic theme. And so it tells you that Babylon is a part of who he is. And so we're going to get more of the same. So who do we choose? Well, we really don't have anybody. How can that be? Because we're cursed. We've killed all of the babies. We're killing more babies. We're eating babies. It's being made into food. We're selling body parts. We're removing Jesus, we're removing God. Of course we're cursed. So those who are in Christ, those who have made the decision who they're going to serve, then you're separated. You're removed from the world. You're put in a place that God will use you through your obedience and your willfulness to do the work of the Lord. When God pours out His Spirit, those who need the nourishment, those who need the boost, the will to move forward, the hope. That's part of what God's Spirit's going to be all about. I want to encourage you, no matter what the circumstances is, because you can't fly away, understand that your fight that you're going to take, that you're going to be refreshed, you're going to be renewed, you're going to be pulled back up again. But you need to repent, and you need to be ready. You need to in your heart make a decision who you're going to serve right now. Okay? Again, you may lose your life, but you'll save it because you were willing to give your life for Christ. See, that's how far we've gone. World War III, I mean, you know, this is what they want. They're going to get it. It's just a matter of when it comes over here, because it's already happening over there. You know, the war's been fought in many different fronts in many different ways, World War III. World War III is basically, you know, going to turn into Armageddon, because when the bombs are dropped, when the radiation, you know, like Fukushima, that's being hidden, when it infects large areas and people are sick and dying, there's disease. And when you have disease, you have areas that are tainted that you cannot inhabit. Ezekiel, Isaiah, many of the prophets discuss this. And so if it's in the Bible and God told us about it, then therefore it's going to come to pass. And we have to take that very, very, very seriously. So the whole point of my ministry is, again, to lift you up and get you ready for the fight. And though, you know, we've been a little harsh, maybe our delivery wasn't the best in getting you to understand that the spirit realm you have to be very careful about, that many of you think you're talking to God or that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, and you're not, you're hearing from demons. Because you haven't had the curses broke off. You haven't had your third eye closed, by the way. I always do that now. I close everyone that I pray for, I close their third eye. And everyone that I've ever done it to has a complete change. Because when that's done, that entryway, that open door, that thing that was ajar into the spirit realm is closed. And now the truth of the Holy Spirit is there. But you still need to repent. You still need to confess. You still need to make a decision who you're going to serve. Because God is a God of honor. He's a God of truth. He's a God of love. And by operating any other means outside of his word is being disobedient. And if you're rebellious, well, just look at how Israel, through in the Old Testament, whenever they were, you know, misbehaving, it didn't end well for them. And then they would repent, come back, and cycle again and cycle again. But we're at the end of the cycle. And now's the time to make that decision. Now, another thing, one of the things that Obama's trying to do is race wars. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're black, white, yellow, red, okay? We're still children of the Most High God. So don't buy into any of this that they're doing. Now, unfortunately, there will be people who do. There's some very angry people out there that are not in the grace of God right now. And they'll be manipulated and they'll be controlled and they'll be the ones that are going to be doing the riots, which eventually will cause martial law to be brought down. I mean, that's what this whole thing's about. They're dividing a nation, and a house divided cannot stand. So again, this is all a tactic. Now, as far as George Soros is concerned, boy, I tell you what, I think Satan just puts his skin on. I bet when he sleeps, he hangs upside down and wraps his skin around himself. That man is so evil that it's hard to even look at him. Same thing when you look at Rockefeller. They look like they're brothers now. twin bats. That's what I'm going to start calling them. I wish these guys would just go away, okay? They've sold their souls long ago. Their spirit, they may upload it to something new. I don't know, you know. They may be very ancient. The spirit that's in them, they may have been around a very long time, which is very possible. But George Soros, he's been responsible for the death of millions of people. And even more numbers are coming. Same thing with the Rockefellers. Same thing with the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers. That's going to be in the billions of people. The blood will be on their hands. Now, I noticed that Arizona has already had 90-degree weather. You know, I spent 47 years in Tempe, Mesa, Chandler, Scottsdale, Phoenix. And this is early for 90 degrees. And I understand that it broke a record. So what's going on out there? Well, there's obviously manipulation of the weather. Even up here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, when people should be, we're normally bragging this time of year about powdered snow up at the ski resorts, I'm walking around in a t-shirt, which is amazing. I mean, this sometimes is the coldest times of the year here in Coeur d'Alene, and it's just amazing. So just understand that they're doing things to alter and change everything, and I know most of you know this. They do a lot of chemtrail spraying up here. I can't believe how much they do up here. They do it everywhere, obviously, but, I mean, for this remote area, I mean, wow, they're really hitting it hard. So I assume that it somehow is a strategic place for weather patterns, the way the wind comes down from Canada and sweeps across the east. So I'm sure that's what they're doing. Now, the Supreme Court justice... that what Obama's going to do is, you know, this was a murder, this was a homicide. I mentioned last night that it was just another reproduction of Kennedy. It's all swept under the rug. You're never going to hear the truth. You know, we'll talk about this and we'll talk about that, but nothing will ever get done. And what they're going to do is they're going to place a Muslim into the Supreme Court. Okay? And Sharia law will follow. Guaranteed. I mean, that's what Obama's going to do. And I mentioned that all the guillotines that are out there, it'll be the Muslims that will operate the guillotines. So wake up, people. Understand that we really are in the last days. And this is no time to be outside of Christ. And if you're angry at someone, forgive them. If you're angry at yourself, forgive yourself. But just understand that Jesus didn't die for people so they could be abused. He died so they could have life and more abundantly and spend it with the Father, to have their sins forgiven. And because of that, much is given, much is expected. And so we have a job to do. And your job is to eliminate evil. Your job is to set the captives free. Your job is to cast out demons. And so if you're not doing that, it's time. And I'm going to be stepping up here on the mic more and more of the video. And I'm going to be teaching and instructing. I'm doing a lot more deliverances just because people are calling. And more emails and answering questions. Because the time is short. And you know that. You know in your spirit. You can feel it. Your stomach's turning. You're restless. You're not sleeping well. Well, same thing here. I'm not happy about what's happening. The very fact that it's coming so quickly, boy, there's just a lot of things I wish I could have done to enjoy life, but it didn't happen. But, you know, life is a flash in the pan compared to eternity. And so the flying away that we're going to do is when Christ returns. And so just get ready, because it's coming. Now, If you're confused about some things, okay, email me and I'll answer your questions. If you need prayer, then I will pray for you. Because right now, if you're sick, if you're depressed, if you have these anxieties, it's going to be hard for you to help us out. We need you. Just like we need the veterans who know how to tactically fight back. All right? I'm only going to do an hour tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow. But you know what? God bless everyone. Thank you for supporting this ministry. We're doing the best we can with what we got. But you know what? The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. And that's you and me. All right? God bless. Good night.